didn't. We just gambled. And we gambled and we lost.
Hi, Mark.
Tony.
This feels so... Like, we should be happy. Like, we're not sad because we lost the game of rugby. This isn't like the after the World Cup final, but... Right now, Mark and I are going through tremendous feelings of loss.
Some PTSD right now.
We probably recorded our greatest ever podcast, but it was lost.
Well, this is not the first time this has happened, but we've just been talking rugby for over an hour.
And now we're... And you don't know what
the part that makes it brutal is that you said right at the start, let me just stand up and check over there to make sure that's recording. And I was like, no, I can see it. The light's on. There's a red light over there.
And he was looking at it. And I went, oh, good.
And I was looking at a red button.
Not a red light.
It's different. There's beer.
These beers, we've drank this beer.
We drank all the beer.
If we're ever drinking red wine in a podcast... Here we go, our producer over there.
Take two.
This is take two. Take two. We're out of the beers. We've got the... Well, cheers to you, Mark.
Cheers. Good to see you again.
Let's cheers to talking about more rugby.
Sooner than I expected.
This is the second time this has happened to us in our history.
And there was one episode that was completely lost.
Oh, yeah, there was. Well, that was amazing.
There was a technical issue, and it was just like, well,
and,
oh, well.
And then there was one episode we just talked about women's rugby and no one watched.
That's true.
But
this is the second take two.
Yeah, and here we are.
Two.
Take two. Rugby.
Can I just say, if we're looking at the bright side, at least we get to talk about the All Blacks winning for a second time. A southern sweep for the second time.
Oh, that's great. But can we go through the chit-chat of you getting checked out at the polls again?
Right, that story's gone.
That was a cracker.
That was a cracker. Me shirtless.
Yeah.
Reacting to it.
I thought we had some good bands to lead off with.
You being a little bit overweight.
Yeah, I did. I got a good insight.
Yeah, some body shaming.
Yeah, that's right. That was good.
Oh, it was cracking.
We usually do a bit of shit talk at the beginning. We've done a lot. We have a bit of shit talk before the podcast even begins. When you first arrive, just general life catch up.
Yep.
We sometimes even talk about rugby during that time.
Occasionally.
Sneaked
in there.
You can't help it. We go, well, say it, keep powder dry. Keep it safe with the podcast. But usually we start this podcast with a good 10 to 15 minutes of shit talk about shit. But
I think we're going to get into the rugby.
Let's get to our sponsor.
Oh, yes.
Ballard Barbell and Boxing Club.
You did that much better this time. It's like you've had some practice.
Yeah. Great people at Ballard Barbell and Boxing Club. Nate, the owner there, the proprietor of the pugilistic arts.
Supplied us these beers, which we drank.
Which we thoroughly enjoyed.
They were called...
Haymaker. We had a hilarious anecdote about me having a misunderstanding around that, but...
Yeah, Tony was confused.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It's a boxing reference.
Yeah, it's because they're a boxing gym.
I do put in some hard yards for our sponsors.
I can't believe we're doing this again.
And I try to find themes. I want credit, people.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I found Interstate Beer. I found Budweiser imported.
Tell them about the boxing club. It's a nice...
It's in Ballard. Where's Ballard?
It's near Seattle.
Yeah, it's part of Seattle.
No, apparently they had the water cut off and they said, well, if you want to be independent,
to be part of Seattle, but Seattle cut off the water. So they were like, join us or die of thirst.
So they thought, I'm a bit...
Oh, well, I guess we're part of Seattle.
They were like, I'm a touch parched.
Yeah.
And they decided to go with it. All right, I can't... You can see that because my thing's blocked.
I can definitely see the
light. That light is on.
Definitely see
Because I couldn't see it and I was like, it must just be the angle.
I can definitely see the light. I can see the light.
Anyway, great. Nate's a fantastic... Nate, we really went on wax lyrically about
how... We talked for ages.
About your awesome boxing.
About your Instagram.
Ballard Boxing. You can follow it there. We'll have your details below.
If you're in Seattle and you want to learn some boxing, go to a gym and talk some rugby. Ballard Barbell and Boxing Club is the place to be.
We love talking rugby.
Yeah.
I really feel like... Because it does... Talking about rugby for over an hour, like we it's nice. There's sort of routines to our this podcast. Mm-hmm. When you arrive, sometimes you might have a coffee.
Yep.
Just get a little pep in our step, and then we pour a couple of beers, drink the beers through the podcast. Mm-hmm. We both are old men who need to urinate immediately after the podcast because we've had coffee and beers.
To be fair, I haven't urinated since the take one.
You might have one in the chamber.
I've kept the seal closed.
All right. And then afterwards, we have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
So this is... But when shit goes awry, we have wine.
This is right.
This is wine time.
This is wine time.
And there it is. So we're quite casual. We're on the couch. We put the TV on.
Yeah.
Watch a bit of stuff.
Sometimes watch some rugby content. Sometimes you'll put some golf on.
Yeah, watch Rian Lu. That's right. Yeah. Watch whatever, you know, and...
We should watch some boxing this time.
Maybe we should. Ballard. I've got you on.
But they got Instagram.
Check their Instagram. Check out
Ballard Barbell and Boxing Club's Instagram. We would appreciate it. And like legitimately, if you're in the really neighborhood, go get some boxing. First class is free.
And if you find yourself in Timbuktu, follow their Instagram.
Yeah.
Give them a bit of love. Give them a bit of love.
They've done us a big solid by buying us these beers, and we really appreciate it. If you want to sponsor this podcast,
I'm talking to you.
My email is not down in the description because this is on your channel, but it's 2centsrugby@outlook.com.
And I spent a lot of time encouraging people to send him dick pics in the last podcast, which I will continue in this one. Feel free to send him dick pics.
No, don't do that.
Okay. Should we talk about some rugby, Mark?
We should.
God kill me.
Let's start with Wales and Fiji because last time we started with a different game.
Well,
what do you reckon? Gatland
should be moved on. He's shit. He's always been shit.
It's 10 games in a row they've lost.
Yeah, it's not good.
Fiji won.
Yes.
First time ever in Cardiff.
Go through. I thought the most telling part of what we spoke about last time was the statistics.
Gats was having a wee whinge at the end, kind of saying like maybe the red card was a bit egregious.
Don't really want to know.
Maybe some things went their way, but I mean...
Other referees' calls.
If you listen to these stats, which team do you think you won?
Entry to the ruck.
What? Like, team A and Team B.
I know the answer, but I'll act like I don't.
There you go. So A will be first, B will be second. Which team do you think won? So A, run meters, 291, 421. Defenders beaten, 23-32. Clean breaks, 3-7. Turnovers won, 2-5.
Okay.
Which team won? The one with all the bigger numbers or the one with all the smaller numbers?
Tell me about the referee and something I can bitch about, though. Well, clearly the team B won that, didn't they?
There you go. It was Fiji. They had all those bigger numbers.
Go, Fiji, go.
Caleb Muntz scored a try, kicked penalties. Like, the try count was 3-2.
He's a composed...
Wales scored three.
There's the Fijian flair is still there, the natural ability. Flair is still there. They still have that ability to be able to score tries.
Yes.
But they have...
Joshua Tuivasa was giving people the old sit down.
And Muntz was, but he wasn't just good with his like gameplay, steering players around the park. He was taking big gaps. He was making great on the counter attack.
Yep.
Quality player and been able to kick goals and get them in the right areas of the field.
That's right.
It's exactly the type of player that Fiji need.
That's right.
Yeah, really quality stuff.
Yep.
And Wales continue to suck balls.
If you lost in a row and you were playing a 6-2 split. Would you have a plan of what to happen if one of your wingers goes down?
I would say number 9 should come on.
The number 9 should go onto the wing? Yeah, that's what I would have thought as well. That was...
No, why? Why the 9 other than the 10? I'd say the 10's actually probably more of a natural...
I guess Sam Costolo, the replacement 10, wasn't a natural winger. And then they lost Mason Grady. And apparently Sam Costolo was just like, it's my time.
Yeah. Dan-da-da-dan, I'll save the day.
Going onto the right wing. Gats is like, wait, no,
don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, God. But what's done is done.
All right. We need to keep an eye on that red light as well because the battery is not as much as it used to be on that one.
Okay. Because we've recorded it our rugby. So, yeah, Fiji, congratulations. 24-19. Wow. First time in Cardiff.
Well done.
Wells, you're on a shit run.
And you've got Australia who will be full of pep and confidence after that with a wonderful looking Swahili.
Australia.
And then the box up against
42-37.
Best game of the week by a country mile.
Swahili was pretty good.
Yeah. How many, if we had to do this podcast, like as many times as we possibly could throughout a day.
Yes.
Right. And say we get $10,000 per episode.
I'm conscious of the battery, but yeah, keep going. Yeah.
How many do you think we could do before we lost our brains? Just talking about the same games Because I feel like it too. I'm already like punch drunk from it. Like,
yeah. Oh, we could go for a walk, go for a week.
Yeah. You'd be like, come on, you'd be coaching me through. You'd be like, think of the money. I'm like, I'm in Lone Sony in a rail player. It's pretty good.
I've learned.
It's so much time.
In the air.
Oh, God.
England. England were supposed to win this one, Tony.
Yeah, they were. They started well, didn't they?
Hot favourites. Hot favourites.
Oh, yes, they started the game very, very
cutting
well.
Cutting himself. Bam, bam. True tries.
Yeah, he celebrated them. He's a big, gregarious character out there. Westlake boy, which I feel a little bit resentful to. But he looks like he's a player. He could do some good things for them. Marcus Smith was started with a hiss and a roar. Actually played well.
He had a yo-yo out there. He was just pulling strings all day.
Played well throughout the game. Yeah, absolutely. He was
right up until he missed the tackle.
Yeah.
Exactly. He was just like, I'm just going to go for the intercept.
I'm going to bite in at the exact time I shouldn't on old Jorgensen.
Old Jorgensen.
Yeah, Jorgensen got in there. But the...
It is Jorgensen. I'm just
The Aussies played, came back into it. Now, we'll mention again, but Bell, I think, really led the charge.
Angus Bell.
Yeah.
Quite literally, busting tackles for fun. But it was such an entertaining game, you're right. Best game of the weekend. Because England had it very comfortably in front, then Aussie had the same situation. Yeah. And then the final 10 minutes, lead change.
I'm going to ask you a question. I didn't ask you last time. Is there something fundamentally wrong with English rugby and the way that they play? Is losing a habit for them now? Do they not know how to finish games, or have they just been on the wrong side of some very, very tight games that could have gone either way?
No, I don't think anything's fundamentally wrong. They've had some backroom changes. I think
they're looking better than they have in the last couple of years.
I think they'll get it right. That was just... That tip pass from Ikitau to Jorgensen was just fucking good.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get beaten by a really nice play. They did really well to have gone from fucking it up where they dropped the ball from Ford to, I think, Lawrence. And they lost the game. And then they were like, we got one chance to go back and win it. And they did it.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you do that. Then you're like, well, let's see if we can lose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was quite the thing. I thought, what's his name? So Ben Smith, the number 15 for Australia, fullback.
Tom Wright.
Played great.
He played really
great,
well.
Really carved them up.
Yep.
Like, they were courageous. They were attacking when
and
it was
steps,
on.
And they
steps
were
really
running
nice.
It out of their own 22.
They were like the best attacking team to watch this weekend.
They were a bit arsey with the Williams strike because I thought he was in touch.
Yeah, I thought a foot was in touch, but hey, you can only... went upstairs. They didn't have conclusive...
No,
they
that's
couldn't
right.
just say, we've got a frame where...
Because it was on-field try, it was on-field...
You couldn't... Yeah. There wasn't a frame where you could see the ball and you could see the toe and touch at the same time, but when you compare them, you're like...
The Timo basically abstained. He was just like, I don't have a decision for you.
I can't see it.
I can't overrule it. Yeah, so
yeah
that's
but
fair.
A,
that's
but
why,
a
that's
common sense told you that it was out, but...
Yeah, but oh well. Slight home scored a couple of tries for England. He looked good off the bench. Marcus Smith with a little kicks through, very sharp.
I think Ben Earl needs to get back up to his standards. There was a sad shot of him at the end of the game when there was a big close-up, extreme close-up on his face.
Big sad
and he had
face.
His ear sticking out, looked like fucking E.T. And like, just like...
What happened?
Yeah.
Tom Curry got knocked out.
Yeah, unfortunate.
We're not going to talk about Ben O'Keefe.
Yeah, we talked about him.
We talked about him for ages.
Sorry, we're not going to.
Well, that can get cut, I'm afraid.
God. Was it a good podcast that we recorded before? It was fine.
Great. It was better than this one. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it was very good.
It was the best podcast ever.
But yeah. Jorgensen, Callaway, the Callaway
Joggy
one was a bit of a lucky one, but I mean, you
make your own luck.
Yeah, exactly. Who would dare mention the word
luck? It's a game
of
two halves.
Harry Wilson, nice try.
You got to get...
McDermott.
When he came on in that first half, he really made an impact, didn't he?
Loved it.
You know, you've got to make those upfront meters to be able to deserve the right to spin it wide. I'm just saying all the rugby cliches.
Sualee.
Oh, God. We talked about him for about 15 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
He's so good, man. Like, his time, like, one of the things you talk about classy players and world class players is guys who have time.
But he makes things look so easy. Effortless.
His ability to freaking win the air. Like him getting the, we didn't talk about this, him getting the tap backs off the kickoffs.
Yeah, three times, I think. That was
a huge, huge, like if, let's say he didn't do anything else in the game. He just did that. Yeah, you think, well, he's worth a spot.
Yeah, you know.
Like, but his ability to, you know, that little tap on to set up the first try, that was a really, really nice moment.
Yeah.
Just that freakish moment where he catches the ball from his own chip kick in midair, just hangs there and just puts an inside ball. Like, he's got all the time in the world. Like,
his quick hands are unbelievable. And also, I noticed his stats. I didn't mention this the first podcast, but he was 4 from 8 with his tackles. So he missed a few tackles, but one of them was... Freeman was on a big break and he just fucking ran him down from behind and just grabbed him. So it's like, well, young kid, man, 21. Yeah. He's got some gas. He's got hands. He's got the aerial fucking time in the world. He's a specimen. He's a real specimen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can't coach that. He's just genetic freak in the best kind of way.
It'd be good to get some more NRL players across. Boy, oh boy.
So paying some quiche. Good on Joe for dropping him in the deep end. Like,
had the guts.
That's a ballsy call. Like, well, Joe had talked about a couple of weeks ago, like, maybe he'll play second game.
Yeah, and he saw...
Maybe he'll play from the bench. But then he was just like, fuck it.
Number 13, saying things like, he's one of the most impressive young men. He's 21, for God's sake.
Yeah.
And he's played, what, 2 years in the NRL.
What were you doing when you were 21?
Masturbating furiously.
There you go. Yeah, well, Joseph Sewell, he might do that as well. Who knows?
Don't know what he's up to after an hour. I did more than masturbate furiously. What was I working?
Were you winning aerial balls in Twickenham?
I think I just dropped out of university.
Well, there you go. So you were also flying high.
It was really dominating shit. I'd started film school.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
How'd that work out for you?
Well, look at me now.
Filming for the second time of the night.
Ah, jeez.
Much needed win for Australia, though.
Mm-hmm.
Written off.
Yes.
A lot of people eating their words.
Oh, 100%. I wouldn't have put money on them. I think England have been knocking on the... We're sure that Ireland win and the... Close loss series
down here, and then
you really should have taken at least one of those. If not, here, they were in a position to win all of those games.
Yeah.
If they win, let's say it's a horrible thought, they win 2 or 3 of those games.
Yeah.
Like people are like, oh shit, these guys are world beaters.
Yeah.
They're up there. So.
But they've lost basically. Yeah. So.
But we don't think anything's fundamentally wrong, despite the inability to lose. If that was the All Blacks, I'd be saying. We just don't know how to win. We don't know how to close out games. We don't have that killer instinct.
Yeah.
We don't know how to put the foot against the throat.
I do think Borthwick needs to get the best out of his bench. I don't think he's quite getting that yet.
No, so. I don't think so either. I think they got some hell of a great players. I still like I really like the look of Feo Wabuso.
Yeah, he went off a bit early in that game, unfortunately. But then Slotholm came on and did a good job.
Yeah, he did.
That was good.
He did. I thought he played very nicely. And Marcus Smith, this is the best I've seen him play. Look, I haven't followed him.
Barring that one last moment.
I haven't followed him through he's a Quins player, eh?
Yeah.
Apparently, I don't follow the Premiership particularly
closely.
Yeah,
no, he's always looked good for Quins. Won a Premiership with them, so... Yeah,
but he's looking doing some good things
at an international level, which is very, very pleasing.
I get the feeling if Marcus Smith stayed on the game last week, they would have won
probably
against New Zealand.
Yeah,
if he stayed on the park. But hey, tough loss for them. Hopefully that is all the better for them. Okay, lights.
Good on you, Australia.
Right,
Italy got pumped by Argentina.
Have we talked about the All Blacks?
No, we'll get to that next. 50 points to 18. I'm mixing it up this time.
Oh, all right.
50 points to 18. You'll put in timestamps, won't you?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe.
50 points to 18. Italy come into this one. Maybe their best chance to beat Argentina in a long time. Argentina, the ultimate fucking Jekyll and Hyde team this week. Which is the good one? Jekyll or Hyde? We got the good one.
I don't know.
Yeah, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
It's like Don Quixote.
Okay. Don Quixote rides a donkey, don't they?
Isn't Jekyll and Hyde the same story as Don Quixote?
I don't think so.
Hold on.
No, we've got limited battery.
Hold on a second.
We're running out. We're going to record this a third time. Whatever.
Hold on.
So Argentina showed up.
Hold on, I was going to ask ChatGPT. Hold on a second. Chat. Is there any relation between Don Quixote and Jekyll and Hyde?
No direct connection exists between Don Quixote and Jekyll and Hyde.
Damn.
Don Quixote by Miguel de Cervantes is a Spanish novel from the early 17th century, focusing on a man who becomes a self-styled knight-errant. Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson is a knight...
There you go. Okay, thank you. We didn't get that wrong.
Yeah,
there's no connection.
Thanks, ChatGPT.
So,
Okay.
But they got hammered by the Italians. The Italians decided to be the good team today.
The Argentinians are bona fide world beaters.
On their day.
But their day is more common than it used to
be. Their day is every other day at the moment.
Originally, it was like once a bloody...
In the World Cup, they'll have a good run.
Yeah. But like this year, they have been South Africa. They've been the All Blacks and they pumped Australia.
They
beat France this year.
Yeah, but it was on tour, so the French kind of beat team.
Oh, the French
touring side.
Yeah. It's like the All Blacks 15, really, isn't it? So it was they're a hell of a team. They really, really are. And next week,
they're taking on Ireland. I mean, some of their tries to their backs. Albanos is on fire. Malia, the fullback's on fire.
Like they absolutely pumped.
Delgi. He was playing some good rugby.
If France or Ireland beat Italy by that amount in the Six Nations, you go, oh, that's good signs. They're looking sharp.
Yeah.
Looking sharp. So, look, I think they're a flipping quality outfit. I really do.
I mean, they had a couple of tries which were a little bit fluky with just the bounce of the ball, but they played
some
silky skills.
I love their backs and their outside backs. Yeah. I think they've got some of the best feet
very
in the world
good
rugby.
Attacking rugby.
Yeah.
Yes.
Cadetes played well?
The Cadetes boys are both injured.
Well, they didn't. I just thought their aura over the.
Oh, their aura was definitely felt. You could feel.
I felt their aura.
Feel the Carreras and the tries to Malia and Delgi and Albanos.
This is why I should try and not say things.
Well, I know you didn't watch that one.
I watched the highlights.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I thought.
But I mean, just to the context, Italy have been a good team this year. They drew with the French. They beat the Scots. They beat the Welsh. They beat the Japanese. They hammered the Japanese away from home. Argentina's just been up and down, and this week they were up, and they fucking hammered them. So, well done, Argentina. Bring on the Irish next for them. Speaking of the Irish...
We got them.
We beat them.
We got them.
23-13.
A lot of people were saying it wasn't a great game, and the All Blacks weren't actually in there. A lot of drop ball, a little scrappy. But hey...
The scrum resets took freaking ages.
I fast-forwarded through them because I didn't watch them in optimal conditions.
This is right.
We don't need to talk about that, do we?
I don't know.
No. Do you want me to go on that long...
Let's just get
Do you want me to go on that long anecdote about my playing career?
No, we can keep that one on the cutting room floor.
Goodness gracious. Yeah, you want to top up?
Go on then.
There we go. We're drinking Rabbit Ranch this week. This wasn't bought by Bella Bubble Boxing, but we appreciate them just as much. We'll pretend like it was. We won. That was good.
Did you just get wine on my pants?
I can't confirm nor deny.
These pants.
I don't know if I did.
Well, there's a stain on my pants. So it didn't
look,
come
dude,
from me.
It could be. We talked about this one the longest.
We did talk for the
old. I just feel like I'm tapped out with it.
So, Rico Ioane leaves the haka.
Put that in your book. Yeah, it's good to see.
I find that whole thing. I know we want to give some personality to it, but Jesus. Sexton not even playing. Put what in the book? Who's he talking to?
I love it. Tasty flavor.
Okay.
Get some. And he leaned into the villainous side of it.
Yeah, he's playing the villain.
Hey, did you see the post he did on Instagram?
No.
So he did. Yeah, he did the put that in your book with him leading the haka. But then there was a bunch of him like doing things throughout the game and leading the haka. And then the last picture in the slide was the Joker holding up the number 13.
Okay.
So he sees himself as the villain.
Okay.
But it was good to see. Rico Ioane is solid as fuck in the All Black back line. Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of the good things that he does in the back line get unseen.
But can I tell you, like, watching Suaalii with his exquisite passing game had me feeling pass envy because Rico does not have that passing game.
Rico did a quick flick on ball.
Yes. He may have done it fucking once, but fucking Suaalii did it like 9 times in the game.
Yeah. Okay, all of a sudden, Wallabies are better than us.
Rico had better defensive numbers than Suaalii, for sure. Right, yeah. But you know what I mean.
I know what you mean. But it was. I thought he played well. He led the haka.
First half is scrappy, but we look the better of the two teams. Yeah, Ireland are uncharacteristically flat.
They're a bit off.
Yes.
Yeah. They're not. They're dropping the ball. One thing that initially
so much drop ball. We didn't even mention that last time. How much fucking ball did they?
Well,
drop?
They started the game pretty like very first few opening stanzas. They put us under pressure. Mm. We made a Hanley error inside our own half.
Yeah.
Then Bundyaki drops a ball, does a bad pass, gets his hands halfway through the defensive line, throws it basically into a New Zealand player, knocks the ball on, and you're like, oh, that was a decent opportunity. Then they get another opportunity in the 22, and then Bundy drops it completely cold.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, Bundyaki's one of their best players, and you're like, well, that's maybe Bundy just needs to warm up a little bit. Mm. But they kind of set the time. It was all just a bit sort of hiccupy and stop-starty. Mm-hmm. Their forwards didn't seem as they did a good job of slowing us down at the breakdown.
Yeah,
Barry. He let them sit around the base of the ruck a lot longer than a lot of the other refs.
Kicks a lot.
Yeah, the run lines. He was big on those.
A few of the games were like that this weekend.
But yeah, he was a little bit more. I thought just at the base of the ruck that the players were able to linger a
Ireland
little bit longer.
Ireland conceded a lot of penalties, though.
Yeah, if somebody went into that game and told me the team that loses this game is going to have discipline problems, I'd have been like, oh that's us.
Like, we lost.
Yeah, but our discipline seemed to improve, or at least we managed to adapt to the referee, because I think it's more about adapting to the referee than understanding the rules these days.
Yeah.
And they didn't as much, they really seemed to struggle. They kept on making errors.
It's just
in
the
that
same
regard.
Not releasing penalty multiple times. It's like, guys, you need to show daylight with Nick Berry. Otherwise, he's going to take it.
Yeah.
Hendo comes off the bench, having seen it happen multiple times, and he's just I'm just going to tackle and just not release.
The bench was shit.
Yeah, the Irish bench didn't have much impact.
They had I said before that Frawley had the opposite of the Midas touch.
Yes.
And Henderson
Henderson did
was
not have
poor.
A good
he gave away
bench.
A penalty, dropped,
and you also
a,
mentioned
dropped a pass from Frawley as well.
Bealham had to play basically the whole game.
Yeah, he came. I think that actually must have been psychologically very difficult. Like, you go off, you've done your 60 minutes, you've done a massive shift.
Just take a seat.
Sip on your Powerade, and then you're like,
to go to this again.
Kidding me, I'm back
on. Can you imagine finishing work, coming home, sitting down, putting the TV on, and then just like, oh, Tony, you got to come back, do another shift.
I'm sure they talk to the players about that. But they say, look.
At least if you're back and you go off, you're pretty confident you're not going to have to go back on.
Yeah. I think it's interesting. We didn't get Perifetta on. And that's one of the things I think about back selections versus forward selections. Being a forward, you're having to hit more rucks, you're having to make more tackles, and you're having to be involved in more physical, strenuous stuff. That's I'm not saying the backs don't have to do that sort of stuff. Absolutely they do, and it's a heck of a physical game for everybody in the park. But the amount of times that the forwards need to do it is far more strenuous and arduous on the body. So I think replacing the forwards is far more about making an impact. And then you can still do that with the backs, with the likes of bringing on a Bodie or bringing on a David McKin, a D-Mac. But if it's just purely like when you got Perifetta on the bench, he's a good player, but he's really on the bench just for...
In case.
Yeah. There's no need to throw it. Yeah, injury replacement.
Yep.
You know, if your backs are playing well, and I think more teams need to maybe take
don't
that sort of approach.
Because the current logic is you have to use all your backs.
Yeah, I think Crawley was playing better than...
Crowley
and Frawley? Mm. Yeah, so I think Crowley should have probably stayed... But maybe they want a Frawley on. He played bloody well in South Africa.
Super sub thing in South Africa. I guess it's a bit hit and miss. Jordy Barrett got a yellow card, and the Irish punished us during that yellow card.
What was the yellow card for again?
Was it on a high tackle? He rode up into the tackle.
Oh yeah, that's right. He kind of, and most of the impact was through the chest, but it was a bit
high-ish. And the Irish punished us. They got a penalty and their try during the yellow card period. 10 of their 13 points.
And it felt just a little bit unjust. Not unjust. You're just like, shit, we've been dominating.
We've been playing well. And why is the... Yeah.
We're behind. You're like, well, it's a good team.
Good teams do that, right?
Yeah. So, and the encouraging thing about the situation, especially being an All Blacks fan, was the fact that considering the fact that our biggest problem has been in the last 60 minutes, we were able to not lose our bottle. We were able to keep our composure.
Despite we're playing better. We go behind. Maybe earlier on this season, these guys shit the bed.
Yeah, D-Mac kept kicking D-Mac his goals. Was
cool.
Yeah, he was staring us in the park very, very well.
Kicking his goals.
That we didn't talk about it in the last podcast that you'll never hear. That moment where he's lining up that crucial kicker goal.
Oh, the ball falls off the tee. Well, we didn't mention that shit. Yeah. We should do 2 second podcast every time.
Yeah, you guys are so lucky we get to hear us talking about this. But then the fact he was able, like, with bugger all, with the shot clock, I reckon that adds pressure.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, like, so much for the...
He's got to rush his routine.
You know, the we never keep quiet during a kick, so we can't talk.
Yeah.
I love the booing and the rah-rah of the pantomime. It's all good. But the Irish are a bit more like, let's be respectful. Yeah.
But they weren't respectful there. I think they started jamming him up, and then he just... It was a long way out, 45 meters, he still nailed it. On a bit of an angle, and just snuck it in there. It was lovely to see. That was a hell of a kick.
It was a cracker.
The man's got balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really does.
And then Will Jordan gets a try for us, kind of from your man Frawley, kind of a nothing kick.
Frawley just played like shit. He really did. He had a shocker. He, what I've seen of him, he shat the bed in a Heineken Cup quarterfinal or a final. And played a stunner
in South Africa
and had an absolute shitter against the All Blacks. So the next time I see him play, he's going to be amazing.
Next week, Argentina.
Rocks and diamonds for that, man.
Almoa had the final pass.
And
he was amazing.
I gave me shades of, I don't know what game it was, but like Dane Coles doing a rocket on a plate to, I think it was Whitelock scoring in the corner against South Africa, maybe circa 2017-ish.
Okay. Almoa had a very good game.
It's been great to see him get a bit of game time.
Lineout was impeccable.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
was the one worry going into the game, and he was just big tackles, big carries.
He's really been able to have a lot of benefit from the time of having to have a lot of minutes.
True.
You know, he's really growing into it.
Yeah.
You know, he had one lineout off the mark at a crucial time, but other than that, he was exemplary. Yep. He was a really,
really
fine
player. There
was
a lot of focus on him, and there was a lot of focus on D-Mac going into this one because Bodie and Cody had head knocks in the last game, but they both were two of our best players. So that's really pleasing to see them like have that pressure on them and just stick it up.
I think the only player that you could think maybe his stocks went down a little bit in that game was Cortez Ratama.
Right.
It's a long season for that guy. Yeah. A terrific season for him from where he was. But the difference between quality of ball that was coming out of the rucks from Roygaard. And that's, you know, one of the things I'm really looking forward to next week is I think he'll be licking his lips and like wanting to challenge himself against the best player in the world.
Sure enough.
And like, because we've seen nothing, really nothing but good things from Roygaard so far in his career. Right. Him against.
Worst thing he's done is get injured.
Yeah. Him against DuPont.
Should be phenomenal.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun ride.
Can you see Ireland being this flat 2 weeks in a row? Or do you think they are bouncing off the walls next week against Argentina?
The fear that you have to have with Ireland, and as somebody who I do consider myself an Ireland fan, is they seem like they're on the other side of the mountain.
Mm.
Like, that's exactly what I said last podcast.
Some of the benches, we didn't mention this, like Omani is like 34. Yeah. Conor Murray's like 33.
Yeah.
So there's some seniority in the bench.
Yeah.
Often you think of the bench as like...
Peter Omani, to me, isn't a bench player. He's a starter.
Right. And he's only just come. He's not had a lot of rugby, I think, and going into this one.
He played for Munster last week against the All Blacks.
Barring that, he'd not had a lot of game time.
Yeah,
you usually think of the bench like youthful guys, the guy who's not quite ready for the like someone who's going to add that kind of punch.
Yeah.
Maybe he's like a solid 20-minute player. He's really kind of high intensity, but.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. You think of like a young Ireland boy just ready to smash.
Basically.
That's what I kind of think of. But for Ireland, the fear for me is they've been improving for so long, and I think they were at their very, very peak during the World Cup this last year. And it wasn't their day during the quarterfinal, which was upsetting for them, especially if they were against anyone else, so I'd be gutted for them. I felt a little bit of... secondhand guilt about the victory that we got there, but they obviously had a, they won the Six Nations, but I just felt like losses against,
there were some chinks in the
armor, losses against England,
close tight, game against Scotland,
close game against Scotland, just
they won in South Africa, which we couldn't do.
Yeah, exactly. But there were just one thing I've been noticing about the game for the last couple of years is just the difference between their best games and their worst games are very, very different. Aren't very much at all. Mm. So, but now it feels as though they're just, throughout games, they're just losing their direction. They're making poor mistakes. They're making bad decisions. They're not maintaining that high level of cohesiveness that we've seen for a long period of time.
So you're saying they're going to lose to Argentina next week?
No, I'm not saying they're going to lose to Argentina, but they could lose to Argentina.
Right.
Like, I would say they have 70% chance of winning that game.
Only 70? Interesting.
Argentina have beaten the All Blacks. They've beaten South Africa. They've beaten, they pumped Australia.
They pumped Italy.
And they've pumped Italy.
Yeah.
Argentina are one of the best teams in the world.
When they show up.
Yeah. I think they're in the top 7 teams in the world.
We are playing France next, and they pumped Japan.
And what can we find? What
52-12. It's kind of just like a warm-up for next week. I feel like...
Oh, my God.
It's flashing red. Okay. France almost... Like Ireland could have used a warm-up before playing us, right? They played us cold.
Yeah, they played us cold.
France have at least got a warm-up against Japan where they flogged us.
DuPont, the reason was, we're starting to freak out is because this is
low battery warning.
We've never seen that.
Louis Bialbiere scored 2 tries. Their forward scored a bunch of tries.
If it cuts off right now, we'd really appreciate it.
We love you. Japan kept running it straight into the big fucking French
forwards.
Have
we covered all the games we needed to cover?
We've still got one more Springbok, so let's get going. Japan didn't play smart rugby. DuPont looked amazing.
Fantastic.
Good warm-up for the All Blacks game.
South Africa.
Scotland played South Africa. A lot of errors from the box.
But
they still fucking won 4 tries to nothing.
One thing I said in the last time we recorded this particular podcast was the fact that the South Africa looked like an All Black team playing badly just in the first half, just relying on singular moments of brilliance.
Laroon and Mbappé.
Exactly. Just having those lovely little moments, a little of class. Still ends in a try and they still got the lead and you think, gee, the other team's been good. That try getting chalked off to Hugh Jones was a massive moment in the game. Yep. How many phases do we go back? We don't know. We don't know.
But that's amazing that South Africa can still look kind of not great and win 32-15.
Yeah.
4 tries to nil. Scotland have not gone a game this season where they haven't scored at least a try.
Yeah, that's true.
And yet they're at home and can't score a try against South Africa.
I thought they were...
They had a red card, though.
Tua Pelota was...
Are we going audio only for the
last bit? Okay, we're going audio only for the very last bit.
The camera just died.
Hold on. Hold on, the camera. I'll put this on.
I need to clap again.
This is an absolute debacle.
Oh, this is terrible.
I feel sweaty. Okay, hold on, video.
Oh, give me that. I got a longer arm than
you. Yeah, all right. Okay.
Okay.
There we go.
You do the clap.
Hey! Oh, sorry. We're back.
Quality
stuff. Your arm's gonna get tired. Let's slow down now.
South Africa, Scotland, classy Springboks.
The classy
number one in the world.
Number one in the world. Thanks. You can thank us for that, and also yourselves for winning a lot of games. But yeah, I thought just those little moments of brilliance were enough to paper over the cracks of a pretty scrappy performance. Mm. Lineout was
surprisingly, like, it's been a bit of a weakness for the South African side, weirdly.
Yeah.
Even if it ended in one weird try.
But it's also, when you ever see the South Africans play, it's the opposite of Ireland. You know how Ireland always just play the same 15 starting the game? There's like Russ has
been chopping and changing.
He loves to mix it up. He really does love to mix it up. It's a great time to be a South African rugby fan now.
Well, number one in the world, like, Scotland's coming off a game where they hammered Fiji a week before.
Uh-huh.
They've, if anything, it's a strengthened lineup because they've been able to bring back Russell. They've been able to bring back Kinghorn, like guys playing in the top 14. So they should be scoring at least a try.
Yeah.
But no.
No, not quite. Mm. But hey, how's your arm feeling?
It's all right so far.
It's all right. You got that. You're rock climbing. You could do this for hours.
I'll switch in a bit. You have to edit this.
What do you mean? I'm going to have to, yeah, I'm going to have to.
It's not too bad.
Cut it in. It'll be absolutely fine.
Any other points on that game? Oh, there was a red card to Cummings for the kind of croc roll.
Yeah, I think it was unfortunate. Like, players fall in different places. Sometimes they're going to fall on players who have splayed themselves to be more powerful over a ruck. Like,
it just seems like one of those ones that World Rugby's putting a focus on.
Mm,
like, I don't think 6 months ago, I don't think it's a red card.
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's a yellow at best.
I thought, I was assuming it was just going to be a yellow.
And I used to always think that the...
But the good thing about the 20-minute red card is it wasn't like... That's the reason. Like, if you're a Scotland fan, you lose a guy after 10 minutes for a red card, you're like, well, fuck. That's
we lost. But it wasn't.
The game was still competitive. The scoreline wasn't buggered by that point. So it's unfortunate, but it wasn't the moment that ended the game.
Yeah. No. And it was a pretty good game in terms of being competitive for a long period of time. I think it was a real shame that that try got chalked off.
Yes.
It would have been really great to see. As a neutral. Yeah, nice. You want me to take a shift?
Oh, that's all right.
Okay, lefty. And anything else to discuss? We talked about that game for a lot longer than we have here, really, didn't we? Yeah. But I just can't think of anything now. My brain is kind of...
Well, just there was just a lot of errors, handling errors and whatnot. It was just a bit clunky. Itzebeth was good. He got man of the match.
Duhan looked like he was trying.
Duhan was quiet and Kinghorn was quiet. That's one of the things about South Africa against Scotland is South Africa is able to keep a very good attacking side
quiet.
Yeah. It seems they have the neck.
Well, they're stifling, aren't they? Mm. They don't give you anything. They make you survive on scraps.
That's right.
I think a big part of this game was the scrum dominance.
Oh, like, we didn't mention that.
No. Their ability just to get penalties at will and march down the field and also get shots at goal when they needed to, it's a huge advantage. It's,
for sure.
It's 9 to 12 points a game. That's massive.
They literally got that one try you when Ben White was paying for taking too long at the ruck.
You have to be 10 to 13 points better around the park to beat South Africa right now.
Yeah, rough.
That's why it's hard. It's one of the big reasons it's hard to beat them.
Okay. Next week's games. Apologies for this last little bit being a bit abridged.
Hey,
I'm literally holding a freaking camera here, like a cell
phone. You're holding a phone.
Cell phone.
Exactly.
Ireland, Argentina. We're both saying Ireland. Argentina winning it would not be like the shock of all shocks.
Yeah, and the thing that I've repeated many times, I don't know whether on this podcast or the previous one, was write them off at your peril. Right.
Scotland, Portugal is an easy Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
England, South Africa is the tasty looking...
South Africa are the money, but England are going to be desperate, and this is a.
Yeah,
I think they are going to have a lot of.
What happens if England go none from three?
It's bad news. I think if they win that game, a lot of sins are going to be forgiven.
Yes.
So they'll.
If you win against South Africa, then you basically don't even remember the previous 2 weeks. You're as good as your last week, right? And if you're as good as your last week, you've beaten the world champion. I think the number one team in the world.
I think they'll go into their future campaigns with a bit of confidence as well. And it's not beyond the realms of possibility.
It's really not. It should be a good game.
Yeah. I'm really. What time's that one?
I think it's like 6 something in the morning. So it's the more reasonable one for our time. Then there's France, New Zealand. We were split last time. You said New Zealand, I said France on recording number one that wasn't me holding a cell phone.
This is technically recording number three.
I suppose so.
Yeah. This is the third device. Well, not the third device, but the third attempt at recording something off something.
Okay, here you go.
I'll record from this angle.
Look up those nostrils.
Okay, So, yeah, look at that. You're getting more of a view of my house.
There you go. It's Tony's place.
What do you think of the plants? We've been
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a lot more... a bit closer here. This is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So, what game are we talking about? France, New Zealand. I am... I think the pressure is now off New Zealand well and truly.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that doesn't correlate to a weaker performance, because basically if they win against Italy, which you can assume they will, that is
still a pretty successful tour.
They get a small tick against their name. They get a decent tick for the tour, but a small tick for the tour.
Yeah.
If they lost.
If they'd lost to England and Ireland and France, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah. If they had lost to two of those games, people would be like, nah,
it's a little bit sketchy. But now it's already kind of like, well, you've done enough.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as we don't lose.
Because before this, we talked about like, well, how many you think they're going to win on that tour? And we were like, I think they should be able to get two.
Yeah, maybe two.
Three would be nice. But now we've got two. Two is nice. Three would be outstanding. So, yeah, we'd be super stoked with three. But
Tony's back in the New Zealand win, and I said after DuPont's performance against the Japanese that I would
I think the New Zealanders have been able to create a bit of steel and learn a lot about themselves and their ability to close out games. You learn a lot through hard experiences, and they've had their share of hard experiences, which has been good.
Italy, Georgia, the Georgians will be fired up. Anytime they get a shot at the Italians, they love it.
Yeah.
They want to be part of the Six Nations.
I think it's a pick 'em almost.
I don't know, Italy.
Yeah, I think Italy probably. But I'd like to see Georgia get up.
Wales and Australia, the desperation levels. If you thought England are desperate, how about Wales?
10 losses in a row. Time for Gats to go. Oz gets
that
it
rhymed.
Done.
Aussie gets it done.
Yeah.
Eat a bun.
Okay, yeah, you're right. I couldn't do it for nearly as long as you did. Now I've already swapped arms.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, this has been a bit of a debacle.
It has, but we've...
but we're here. We're queer. Hey, we don't want any more beers.
This is a podcast called...
2 Cents Gets Distracted.
It's a rugby podcast.
It was brought to you by the good people at Ballard, Barbell and Boxing
you
Club.
You can buy a t-shirt.
You can buy a t-shirt. Check them out on Instagram. And if anyone else wants to buy us... some haymakers or any other kind of beers.
We'd appreciate that.
Get in touch with me or Tony. Probably me.
Yeah.
Get in touch with me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, well done, Mark.
Doesn't count if it's
not a camera. See you later, everybody.
See you for take 3 in 5 minutes.